Hello and welcome to Season 6, Episode 15 of the Anate Podcast. I'm Hybrid Mink, and in the room tonight we have Dr. Kev.
Good evening.
Requiem.
Good morning.
And introducing Viking.
Hello there.
If you're new to this podcast, we talk about anime and things that are tangentially related to anime, like DuckTales. Unfortunately, I'm not going to talk about DuckTales this time, you're just going to have to watch it yourself. But first, let's get into housekeeping. Dr. Kev, not much going on the blog, but what do we have coming up?
There's not much been on the blog the last couple of weeks since the last podcast was posted, but we are working on articles, honest. There is definitely a seasonal preview guide coming up for the sequels. That should be posted just prior to the new season starting. And I'll also be writing a post-mortem article on the season that's just ending. So we do promise there will be content. Please don't unbookmark us.
We swear to God, it's coming. We're not making it up.
Yeah.
The postmortems were always my favorite before I was in Anate. So I was like, oh, well, what did I miss? And then I usually get some good recommendations. So I'm looking forward to Requiem's three articles he has planned.
Oh, I've had dozens of articles planned for years.
We'll get to them.
I wouldn't hold my breath.
All right, and with that, let's talk about the new season. This time, usually we kind of try to avoid spoilers, but since this is the end of the season, we're wrapping up, preparing for the new one, I think we're going to hit on some specifics. So if you haven't seen some of the shows when we bring them up, maybe skip ahead, check the time codes on the site or wherever you're listening to the podcast, just to make sure you don't get spoiled. Or if you don't care about spoilers, keep listening, because we're very entertaining, and you should listen to us. So we talked a lot, I think we talked a lot about Tokyo Revengers last time, but we got to talk about it again. We're going to talk about other things, but I just wanted to get this out of the way first, because that ending is like, we need a new season very soon. You know what? I'm going to start with Dr. Kev. What did you think of how they wrap things up?
That was a fantastic ending. It was a really, really good cliffhanger. Just like, what the hell? I mean, I know that several other folks at Anite have just gone off just to read the manga, just to find out what happens next.
I was going to say, it's a good ending as long as there's another season.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean,
otherwise, it's a Sopranos ending. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, apparently the manga's now selling like tens of millions of copies, so of course there's going to be a second season. I mean, I felt that the sort of second half of the show, sort of episodes 13 to 24, were a bit slow. I think they could have done with upping the pace a bit, because it was just horrifically padded. But maybe if they sorted that out for upcoming seasons, that would be fine. Because, you know, without that second part, the first half of the show probably would have been my top shows of the year. But just because I felt the second half dragged it down so much, not in terms of content, but just in terms of execution, I don't think it wouldn't scrape my top 10 this year, I don't think.
Did the manga like delay things like that? Did you read it? Or did they
I've not,
really
I've not read
stretch?
It yet, no.
Mm. The Bloody Halloween thing took three, four episodes longer than it needed to.
Yeah.
It was a little much. Though just, really important, it was just a little much.
It was laughably padded.
Story-wise, it's actually quite effective. It's just it took way too long to tell it.
Yeah. But I guess maybe the next arc's quite long or something, and they just thought, well, we can't even start adapting this. So, and they were probably given a certain number of episodes to fill, and they just had to fill it the best way they could. Oh, well.
I'm just always blown away. Here's this kid who just shows up and he's just crying, asking people, huh? What's going on? I don't understand. And like somehow he's just working his way up to the top of this organization of thugs. I'm just like, I don't know why they let you anywhere near them. I don't understand.
Yeah, it's not really very plausible, but that you don't really watch this to be plausible. I mean, you've got like teenage boys. I mean, these are what, I don't know, 13 or 14 year olds or something like that, just beating the crap out of each other and just acting like they're sort of Dragon Ball Z extras or something. You know, it's just crazy.
Yep. I did smile when he got added, became like, what do they call him? The captain?
He's a captain of, like, Division 1 or whatever.
Yeah, and he had his head down, and he stood up, and he's just still fucking crying. I'm like, I couldn't help it. I smiled, and like, all right, you're such an idiot, but I like you.
Yeah.
This might be mean, but I'm glad Baji's dead.
Whoa.
I didn't like Baji, and I was sick of the storyline around Baji.
He had to do it, man, for the greater good. Yeah. He had to be an asshole kid.
He had to be a relentless asshole and not tell anybody what he was doing, yeah, and then failed anyway.
These characters' motivations and actions are very sketchy. The things they do are just there to serve the plot, not because they make any kind of rational sense to anyone at any time. As long as you just accept that the story is just ridiculous, it's a lot of fun. But, yeah, it makes no sense.
I know you say we're going to spoil things, but maybe I won't say any more. I was just going to be like, why is he constantly looking for this kid's phone number all the time? Like, couldn't you? I guess he couldn't really head to his house because he was stuck in that situation in the limo getting brought there. But, like, no one ever asks, like, how do you not know what's going on? Is he a different person? Why? So
maybe he's so spacey all the time that it's not unusual.
I guess.
Yeah.
That's why he's endearing to them. All right. Well, yeah, I think we all agree. I mean, I don't know, I guess Vikings maybe not watching it, but I think a lot of us think it's pretty good, despite some questionable writing and scenarios. Tokyo Revengers, pretty good. Just wait for the anime, all right? Just don't read the manga. The anime is worth watching. Just to hear that kid cry.
See, I've been waiting on this one to get to a good stopping point before I actually started it.
Okay, that's a pretty good stopping point now.
It'll probably work quite well if you binge it quite quickly. You might not get so pissed off that it's so drawn out.
Yeah, you won't have to worry about like when the story leaves you on a cliffhanger and then you don't get a new episode for 3 or 6 weeks.
Yep.
Okay. Nice.
So, Viking, what did you think about how Dungeon Black Company wrapped up? I actually I watched this yesterday, the finale, and it was all right. I think they got more to do there though.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was a decent ending, but it's kind of one of those non-ending endings that you typically get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
overall, I really enjoyed the show. I thought the parody it had for just corporate culture was wonderful.
Yeah, originally. And maybe up until the end, it was just like, man, this guy's kind of a shitbag. I'm not even sure if I really like him, but he's kind of endearing because he does good things every now and then. But overall, I think the friendship between the cast kind of kept me watching until the end, and I'll watch another season, see what actually ends.
Every once in a while, it was really, really funny. So I kept with it, even though I was never completely sold. The ending's a little too wrapped up, but...
The second to last episode just like jumped through, like, whoa, what's happening? Is this the final episode? But thankfully we got that one last one to kind of really wrap things up. All right, we can probably move on. It's not like the deepest show in the world. What about Remake, Requiem?
Well, Remake wrapped up, and while I was really big on the show when the season started, like I recommended it on the collab. And I recommend it in previous podcasts. And I like the finale in general, but I'll have to admit that I personally did not like the jump back to the future arc very much. Mm-hmm. When it first happened, I thought it was only going to take like an episode, maybe two, and then they go back to the past. And it ended up being like the entire rest of the season, and I wasn't really into it.
Yeah, I've got similarly mixed feelings in the show. I think it started really, really well. And there's a part in episode, I think it's 5, I think, where they homage the band scene from Haruhi. And that was just a fantastic episode. And then it all kind of goes downhill from there. It's like really stupid, just rom-com nonsense, sort of almost like harem show type crap. And then, yeah, there's a sort of time skip to the future, and it kind of derails the plot completely. And it's just not that interesting. So, I don't know.
If he had gone back to the future and seen that his actions had caused the problems, made things worse, and then immediately gone back to the past, and he could have tried to work on it, it would have been fine. But the fact that they were there for 3 or 4 or 5 episodes, to me, completely derailed the plot. It's like, the plot is, go back in time and fix your life. If you wanted to flash forward again so you can see that you're doing it wrong, fine. But you didn't need 5 new episodes back in the real world
did,
or whatever.
I did quite like that it did show him the consequences of his actions. So, I mean, the show, it makes it look like everything's going so swimmingly and he's such a perfect guy and everybody loves him and all of his decisions have been wonderful. And then it's like, well, actually, no. And that's that quite kind of nice sort of dark thought there. But then, you know, he starts fixing everything in the future as well. And yeah, he does that for far too long. And then the conclusion to that is a little bit too quick and too neat. And it could have been this really interesting moral conundrum. You know, do you stay in the future where you've got a loving wife and a child who loves you and you've got a good job and, you know, and he kind of ponders over that for roughly 30 seconds and is like, no, screw that. I'm off back to the past to erase my wife and child.
It's basically a time travel abortion.
Yeah, it's like, oh. And it plays it with almost no emotional consequences at all. I mean, he's more worried that... Well, I'm not really sure what he's concerned about, to be honest. He seems like a fairly empty cipher to me, the main character. And that's the problem with this show, is a lot of the characters are just a bit... They're kind of very one-note. Like, you know, I'm a singer, I want to sing, that's what I do. I'm an artist, I want to draw, that's what I do. And that's kind of it. So I don't know, maybe further seasons might... You know, delve into the characters a bit more, but
I mean, I like the concept. I like most of the scenarios they present and the general themes. But as has been complained about in the chat recently and previously, the characters never get very deep.
No,
it's kind of a surface level show. So it's enjoyable, but it's never going to say much of anything.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff about the artistic process is really interesting, and all the compromises that you have to make to get things done. It was a bit like a year or two ago they had that the Izokan thing, the one get your hands off Izokan. That was all about sort of the tension between artistic creation and the realistic sort of requirements. You know, you've got a producer who's breathing down your neck saying, get this thing done. I quite like that sort of aspect to it. That was interesting.
All I like is that it's set in college and in the future with adults. And I want more shows with non-high school aged characters.
Mm-hmm.
Please do more of those.
But during that middle part of the show with the sort of romantic nonsense, they did to act just like school children from other anime romantic comedies. It's just, you know, there are lots of boobs touching backs and people getting really like, embarrassed about it. Like, this isn't real life.
Doesn't work as well in college. No. What were you comparing it to Isaacan with? Specifically?
Just in terms of the tension between the artistic process and the demands of production, and how you can't always get what you want creatively if you want to actually get something done and released in time.
Yeah, the old push-pull of artistic achievement and commercial requirements.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, you can make exactly what you want, but are you going to make any money doing that? You know.
Yeah.
Very familiar with that, yes. I was at a convention recently, just like My Hero Academia characters and furries everywhere. Just like, man, I drew the wrong shit.
Just take some of your drawings and add a tail.
Some of them have tails. Kids like Felicia still from Darkstalkers.
Everybody likes Felicia. By the way, Capcom, feel free to make another Darkstalkers game.
They're not going to. You didn't buy the Resurrection. They're not making it.
I fucking did.
It's your fault. You didn't buy enough copies of that game that no one wanted. We wanted a new one. We're not getting into that. That's a different story.
More rival schools, too.
Oh, yes. Yes, I am fully on board. But anyways, anime. I don't know if we've really talked about the Aquatope on White Sand much. At least not in the ones that I've hosted. And I just finished this up the other day. For me, it was kind of a show where I just kind of... casually watched while eating Triscuits, and they're a very loud crunch, so I'm just like, this is when I'm going to watch this and not really pay attention, but it's a pretty good ending, but also it's going to continue?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, another
12 episodes. Yeah, that's only halfway through.
Apparently,
I thought it was done. I thought it was a one-season shot.
Nope.
That's what it felt like. It felt like an ending. They didn't have a preview sometimes. Actually, they don't usually have previews.
Well, I mean, spoilers, but I thought, like, obviously, I'm not watching the show, but I thought from what I heard that they closed the aquarium.
Yeah,
they did.
What the hell is the show about that?
Maybe the next aquarium. Maybe we're going to do like a 2-year time skip. Maybe it's going to be all Yuri.
I think it will be a time skip. I don't know about the Yuri thing. I don't know. They keep kind of sort of teasing that, but I'm not sure if they'll ever kind of commit to it at all. But no, the girls, the blue haired girl's got a job at the new aquarium. So after she finishes school, so it's going to pick up after that, I think.
I was just so shocked when I saw that it wasn't ending. I don't know, Viking, what do you think?
That surprised me too. But I really enjoyed the show, and I just saw something about like 7 new cast members. So,
oh god,
Yeah, so I'm guessing that there's going to be a time skip, and it's going to jump ahead, and there's this whole new cast of characters involved. So I don't know how it's going to go, but I'll keep watching for now.
Well, with that many new characters, it has to be either a time skip or a location change, or both.
The new aquarium, I bet, like those employees and stuff. I bet that we're finally going to see the god kid that like shows up every now and then. He's going to finally interact. He's going to be like, shibui! And he's going to be a joke character. I hope so.
Okay.
I don't actually want that.
He's just in the background, just sort of making funny faces every now and then, and he just sort of disappears. I have no idea what his purpose is at all.
The only time he was like significant was like during the typhoon, where it seemed like he was guiding them, but like other than that, it didn't seem like he did anything.
Yeah, but you know, in comparison,
he's some sort of spirit, and I swear I've seen that design in a different anime before, but I can't remember where, and maybe I'm just imagining it.
Yeah, I don't know.
In comparison to Remake, there's the character work in Aquatope is so much better. I mean, these characters are much better drawn. They've got an interior life. They have actual like desires and drives, which are not always directly associated with the plot. And you know, they do change and develop with time. It's a really, I think, quite skillfully written show, and I really like it. It's quite chill as well, which helps.
I think that's the thing that PA Works excels at, is just like character development and just like casual, even though they're not the most believable characters. I'm like, oh, this is a very moy, cutesy, innocent cast of characters, but for the most part, they're still likable and relatable enough. So.
And flawed as well.
Yeah, it's a good kind of flawed. Mm-hmm. And that whole thing with like her sister, I teared up a little bit when she like didn't go on the plane, so that was
good. Yeah.
Write down.
As it maintained, like, when it first started, everyone was like, oh my god, this is so pretty. Did it keep that level up?
It's still very blue and colorful and very shiny.
Yeah, pretty.
Very sunny. It's a good, like, feel-good show because of the environment. You feel like you're on summer vacation on a resort just at a shitty aquarium, albeit. But the whole thing with the visions doesn't really come up a lot. I wonder what they're going to do about that now that they're not at the aquarium anymore.
It's feel good, but there's a sort of melancholy sort of taste to it as well. It's not totally like throwaway fluff. There's definitely some sort of deep emotional kind of stuff going on there that just it sort of elevates it above your average slice of life anime thing for me, just because of that melancholy nature.
Agreed.
Yeah, and then that's the perfect term for it, too, I think.
Melancholia.
Yeah.
Sounds like a virus. At least the way Rex says it does. All right, let's see. We've got to get through a lot of these shows. How about Peach Boy? Who wants to talk about Peach Boy?
I fucking love Peach Boy.
All right, moving on. No. How did it end? Like,
the director's choice to take the episodes out of order to try to match them up more thematically, because he knew he wasn't going to get an ending, and boy, did we not fucking get an ending. But he tried to arrange them in an order that would tell the story thematically the way he wanted, and I thought it worked. I thought it worked fairly well. Some people disagree. So,
me,
you know.
Yeah, I disagreed with that.
Apparently Viking disagrees.
I disagree.
Who cares?
Well, I guess
screw both of you. Oh, me and the minority, that's fucking new.
Get in the specifics, let's just spoil it.
Well, it's just that like you meet this witch character, and then it goes to the episode where they meet the witch character. So it throws you off. Like, there's always a sense with each episode where you're not 100% sure where you are in the storyline. Because like I said, he tried to mix it. He was trying to tell a story thematically instead of it chronologically. And sometimes that makes it really fucking hard to remember, like, what are the characters' relationships at this point in the story? Because you got them, you know, they pick up the ogre girl that's not technically an ogre anymore. And she's like super cold to them. And then like she has a different name. But they don't see them give her the nickname for until two more episodes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does cause needless confusion. I mean, I do appreciate what you're saying about the sort of thematic stuff. That is true. The last couple of episodes do work from a sort of, you know, peace between different races kind of thing. But from an actually coherent story, it's nonsense. And I think, you know, personally, I feel this would work much better chronologically. And if I liked it enough, I would go back and watch it chronologically again, but I don't like it enough to do that.
I would think that even if you did it mostly chronological, you'd still have to move the first episode. Because that origin story, that was the worst episode. It was the most boring episode. So it was moving that a couple of episodes in was probably a good idea.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, but not with the rest of it.
Yeah, I'm on board on that too.
But
after that, it seemed out every episode I would watch for 5 minutes and think, wait, have I completely forgotten everything that happened? Because none of this makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you didn't forget. It just hadn't happened yet.
It's not really a show that deserves to have mental energy really spent on it, to be honest. It's just mindless fun. But having that extra barrier to entry of like, sorry, where the hell are we in the story? Just, I think, detracts from it. And I would have enjoyed it much more if they had not bothered with that.
I'll admit that it's divisive and where you're going to, you have to just watch it and see where you fall. But to me, the world and the characters were so interesting that, and the setup was so much fun that I just enjoyed it.
See, in Japan, you had two ways of watching it. Broadcast television, which was broadcast out of order, or you could pay to see it on cable television, where it was broadcast in chronological order.
They just put both orders on the disc like they did for Haruhi.
Yeah, yeah. See, it works better with Haruhi, because Haruhi's just, like, totally insane. Peach Boy's not quite insane enough.
It's, like... It's not insane enough. It has a rabbit girl who's also, I guess, a demon and knows angels.
Yeah, that's true. Ugh. That's just a Tuesday evening.
It's pretty insane.
Yeah, right. Like, I'm pretty sure Peach Boy could qualify for crazy.
I still don't know what it's about.
And I don't know how to explain what it's about. Viking, explain what it's about. Yes. That's what I said. Yeah, do you know Momotaro? Imagine Momotaro, but way weirder and out of order.
I can't. All right, well, I guess.
Really want to recommend it. Like, just because I can't quite like quantify what it's about. Basically, it's about people versus ogres versus demi-humans. And also, there's violence. Go watch it.
Ooh. Well, if you're a fan of Requiem, then you'll like Peach Boy.
The good thing about it now that it's over, you can actually get the chronological order and watch it that way.
You're in complete control if you watch it now. See, it's not even an issue anymore. Watch it in whatever order you wish.
I feel like the original author's intent is what you'd want, right?
Yeah.
Like they want you to be confused at certain times. That's why they air it in that order. Or they're just really bad at what they do. It's one or the other.
You know what? I might go back and watch it in the order it was supposed to be chronologically just to see how it looks and feels that way.
How it feels. All right. Let's move on. What do we got here? Okay. So did Magia Record end? It's still going, right?
It's been split into an 8-episode second season and an unspecified number of other episodes for a third season. So the final one was like shown maybe today or yesterday. My Gate Record ended and on a cliffhanger, and this entire season has just been an absolute shit show.
Yes, I skipped it and I knew it would be. Good to know.
So it started to get interesting, and then the production just fell apart. So the animation just took a nosedive. It was like it was clearly just missing bits. There were parts where like characters' mouths would be moving, but there was no dialogue in that scene, like at all. And this last episode, there was whole huge swathes of dialogue that Funimation didn't even bother to subtitle. And it just made the whole thing confusing. Now, I think it might have been a stylistic choice because the scenes were meant to be slightly confusing, and the idea was that the characters weren't communicating properly with one another, but they're clearly speaking in coherent Japanese. I don't understand Japanese, so I was getting extremely frustrated that I couldn't understand what they were saying. Shit, basically.
Wow.
Wow, okay.
Alright, we don't have to spend too much time on that.
Break it down.
It just made me so angry. It's like, this is terrible!
I was just like looking at the previous season. I'm like, man, I watched the previous season. I should probably watch this, but no, it's just as bad as I was hoping. Well, I'm hoping it would be, but you know, less to watch.
Maybe the eventual Blu-ray release might, you know, they'll probably clean it up a bit. Because I mean, if you look at the original Madoka, there was lots of crappy animation in that, and they cleaned it up for Blu-ray. And then when they did the movie, they redid half the animation then as well. So
wait for the movie, I guess.
Yeah, Shaft has got history with this.
I hope they pick themselves up, because I really like Shaft most of the time.
Yeah, yeah. This doesn't look like a Shaft production. This looks like a Studio Deen production.
Whoa, damn. That's a little rough. Should we bleep that out? That seems a little rough.
It's really offensive.
That's going to get sued.
Oh, you know what? I want to talk about Star Wars Visions, because I've heard mixed opinions on different people. I haven't seen any of them yet. What do you think?
Has anybody else watched it? I've watched some of it. I've watched, I think, the first five. There's nine of them. Quite mixed. A couple of them are just fantastic. I mean, Studio Trigger's one, obviously, is just like Studio Trigger does Star Wars. It's exactly how you'd expect it to be.
They did two, right? Amaishi did one, and then someone else did one.
Maybe I've not watched the second one yet, but the one I've watched is about like two twins and like fighting over a massive Star Destroyer thing. It's spectacular. It's fun. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, but it's very Trigger, and that's the Imaishi's one. And there's a really, really good one about a little robot Jedi, which is I can't remember what it's called, but I really, really like that one. So of the five I watched, two were like meh, three were great. So don't know. Okay. See how it goes.
I'm gonna have to check out the one with the robot.
Hmm.
I'm meaning to watch this. I just haven't done it yet.
Yeah, there's one that looks like it should be really good. It's the one done by Kinema Citrus, which is the people who did Made in Abyss. It looks very pretty, but I just found it really boring.
Do they have any like child nudity or extremely disgusting like injuries?
No. It was probably the closest thing you'll get to maybe like Studio Ghibli doing Star Wars, because it had that sort of pastoral vibe to it.
If only they would.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they wouldn't. The ties of Disney and everything, I'm surprised.
Well, they don't. Disney doesn't distribute their stuff anymore.
It's G-Kids now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, Studio Ghibli barely exists as an operating entity at the moment. So
hard to keep up.
Yeah.
You guys, so can we talk about Fina, Pirate Princess? Because there's only one on this list that I'm not watching, and I'm fascinated.
So it's not done yet, but it's still good. It's still keeping up with what's like they had like a kind of a tease and then like a real quick jump forward at the very first episode. Now they're figuring out what happened on that day, and I think it's hitting pretty well. The production values are still super high, and I still love the characters. So yeah, still one of my favorite shows of the season.
Yes, it's very pretty. I'm not sure where the story's going, to be honest. But
did you guys watch the latest? I think it was last week's episode.
I watched this week's episode as well.
I forget what days they come out, but the last episode I saw, they shot the most ridiculous anime canon in the history of forever. I'm just like, oh my god, this canon should not exist in this time period.
No. That was spectacular. That
completely
was really cool.
Obliterates an entire cast of characters and a boat. Just like, oh my god, I don't know. It was fun though. It's kind of brutal.
Yeah.
I keep hearing a lot of like really mixed stuff about it. Like some people are like, this is amazing. And people are like, boom. So I don't know. I'll get to it at some point. Yeah, I've heard both. That's what I'm saying. I've heard both, sometimes from the same person.
Interesting.
It's a very high quality. It looks spectacular. I'm just unsure about some of the character work and some of the plot decisions. I don't know. I think this is the sort of thing that you can only really give a proper opinion once you've seen the whole thing. But I'm going to continue to watch it. It's fun.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat there, I guess. It's beautiful.
Same boat. That's what you're
doing. Not the one that got blown up.
The other boat, the good boat. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, it's a beautiful animation. It's a little bit weird though, because you know it's Fina, pirate princess, and she doesn't really seem to be either a pirate or a princess. So it's kind of odd. I don't know.
I think her family heritage is tied to her being royalty of some kind.
Okay, but what about the pirate part?
The other guys that she's with are pirates, so she's a pirate. She's part of the crew. She's a pirate.
Pirate ninjas.
Yeah, pirate ninja ogres, I guess is what they call them. So.
Yeah. I don't know. There's two very edgy, long-haired guys that I keep getting mixed up, but one of them seems to like her, and one of them seems to hate her, and I can't remember which one's which.
No one hates her. I don't remember that at all.
Maybe that's just from the most recent episode.
I think if you're an animation whore like me, then you're probably going to like it, regardless of the quality of the writing or anything. But it's... other than like some weird plot points that Dr. Kev brought up, it's been pretty great otherwise. So,
recommend. It's not even started broadcasting in Japan yet. It's exclusively on Crunchyroll just now. It doesn't start in Japan until next week.
It's on Toonami, Swim? Yeah, it's on Adult Swim, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, is it airing?
Which is weird that it airs on Adult Swim before Japan. Like, it's just everything's upside down.
Contracts. That's how they did with FLCL, I think. So, get that contract.
Well, they, like, help pay for FLCL, right?
Yeah, but didn't they help pay for this?
I don't know, actually.
I don't know at all. I just assumed. I see their logo at the beginning. I'm like, well, they probably paid for that logo to be on there. And Crunchyroll, which is confusing now because of Funimation, but don't worry about it.
Like, they paid for Big O Season 2.
Yep.
But then did pay for Big O Season 3, you
They ended it. Man, you love that C word. Bleep that out, please, editor. Thank you. Let's talk about Maid Dragon. We all agree Maid Dragon's great, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
we
yeah.
need to make a video game based on that. I don't know. talk about that later.
Now, the question, of course, is Maid Dragon Season 2 good? Because it is, right? Everybody agrees it is. Question is, does it live up to Season 1? And that's where opinions differ.
I'd say almost. You know, it's almost as good. We got a peek inside some of her past that I really enjoyed. Toru started to maybe ease up on her crazy obsessiveness with Kobayashi, and then they ended it with something completely in the other direction, and I'm like, yes, that was a good idea. It's a good call.
It's a lot of fun.
I like that they temper all the ridiculous antics with just enough kind of, you know, maudlin aspect to make you care about him.
My friend watched the first season with his wife, and he saw that new character, and he's like, can't do it. Can't watch this with her this time. Like,
the new character turns out to be super wholesome.
Yeah, but like the first couple episodes, you just look at her design, and you're like, oh boy, what is this?
Yeah, loady big boobs, yeah.
Yep.
But she's so fucking great, though. I love every scene with her working at the shop with that poor high school kid who is desperately trying not to stare at her tits.
We didn't get enough of that. We should have gotten more of it.
Every scene of them is fucking gold.
Mm-hmm. I'm always impressed by just the animation of the dragons and everything, and just like how emotive these things are, and just how serious all the flashbacks are, and how not serious the modern day stuff is.
I just love, she's like, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna go fight the gods, and then she did.
Mm-hmm. And lost.
But hey, those who dare greatly.
How did Kobayashi take that sword out of her back? I forget. In the first episode,
she was drunk. She was really drunk.
She had drunk strength.
I quite like the kind of subtle character work they did towards the end with Kobayashi, just because in a way she's almost, sort of takes Toru for granted a little bit, just because she knows that Toru's basically obsessed with her, and she never ever admits to her feelings or really actually does that much for Toru. So then when she realizes that Toru's starting to make friends with other people and is becoming less dependent on her, I quite liked how that sort of woke her up a bit and made her just a little bit insecure. And I thought that was really interesting. Quite clever writing for essentially a funny rom-com about crazy dragons.
Yeah, I was glad that they did that, because I was worried that relationship hadn't really developed enough. You started to feel bad for Toru after a while.
Mm-hmm.
What did you guys think about Kana going to New York City?
That was my favorite episode. I loved that episode.
Fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, agreed. That was the best episode.
Yep.
She goes and gives him money. He doesn't understand what she says. So she goes and learns the English, and then she still uses the wrong money.
Yeah. I feel like in one respect, season one had a lot more great Kana moments that became memes. In this season, we didn't really get a whole lot at all. Though in the final episode, she did eat a butterfly, so that was good.
We got great Elma moments instead.
Yeah.
That's true. I'm wondering if some of that came from the spinoff manga, because it seemed like some of that was just like, hey, a whole episode about Alma, just a whole bunch of different stories. I'm like, that's weird. All at once.
I like the episode where she tries to improve things at work and basically fails completely.
She can't. She's a dragon, but she can't. Yeah. She can't change Japanese corporate culture.
I know, and Kobayashi's just sort of like, yeah, everything's like this. Yeah, it's shit, but you know, we don't change anything. And it was just, that was so true to life. It's very frustrating because you want like your lead character to almost kind of rail against that sort of thing, but she's not that kind of lead character.
Down to earth.
Mm-hmm. Just wants a quiet life
with her dragons.
Yeah, even if it means she has to work like 16-hour days.
One of the really interesting things about the show is how every dragon has a human that anchors them.
Mm.
You know, like, each one of them has at least a partner, if not two.
Yeah.
I always found that kind of interesting. It's the only way they survive is if they have, a, like, a human partner, basically. But no one, it's not formalized. Like, they don't have contracts and blood or anything. Well, I mean, I guess technically the Shota kid does.
I find Kana's one very creepy. The little girl, that's just...
Really? I think that's fucking hilarious.
If you think of it as her just having a cute infatuation, it's fine. But if you think of her as wanting to have sexual intercourse at that age, it's not.
But she's too young for that. I mean, Kana isn't, technically. But she's too young. She's just got a little kid crush. But I think that particular joke tends to split people. I think it's really funny. Mm. Every time she goes... Like her head explodes.
It's a bit off color. It's like she's having an orgasm every time Kana says or does anything. Like, this is not right.
Yeah, I think the kind of really over-the-top way that they do that, I think that's what it actually takes people out of it. And instead of just getting the joke that it's a kid crush.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's what it is. Though I know what that author has done, so I'm not sure if that's how he sees it.
I also really love any scenes with, like, Elma and the kids. Like, when they were playing the Legally Distinct from Monopoly game, or when they went out and camping.
Yes, that was good.
That shit was great. Just give Elma her own show.
I mean, I'd watch it. I might just read the manga, actually. You know what? The spinoff manga is supposed to be good, right? Same author?
I think so. I've heard of it. I haven't seen any of it. Mm.
Oh, all right. Well, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, wait, no. Finished that one. 5 other shows that I think have wrapped that I was going to talk about. But first, let's see. I don't want to talk about all of Viking. Viking, was there anything else you want to talk about before I go through a couple of mine?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there are a lot of these shows that I've only watched a few episodes of and I'm kind of behind on. But yeah, so I really want to hear what you guys are saying about them.
So, I know it's like a joke around here to talk about My Hero Academia. None of you guys watch this show, right?
No.
I quit. I quit after last season.
We need the SEO so more people listen to this podcast.
So, put it in the title.
Yeah, put it in the title, use the thumbnail, and talk about it for like a minute. All right, here we go. So, we can put it in the thumbnail. I thought this season of My Hero Academia was kind of weak, and then they did the whole villain thing, and that was cool. And now it looks like the next arc is going to actually be pretty exciting. So... kind of like a transitionary arc, I guess. Everybody under like 15 seems to watch the show. So hey, look forward to the next season. It's pretty good. I'm probably gonna watch the movies. I haven't watched any of them. I think I'm probably gonna watch them. So
I'm gonna watch it with my son. Once they've dubbed all of the episodes, then I'll watch it. Probably just binge it over.
I kept hanging in on it until the end of last season. Then I was like, I can't watch any more of the adventures of Whiny Hair Eater and Angry Explody Hands.
He only ate that hair once.
And yet it hangs in my memory forever.
It ruined his life.
It's not like a must want.
You know what would be a great idea? What if I give, Superman level powers to this whiny little bitch who can't handle them and is going to break his body at every opportunity? That's great. That is responsible adulthood.
So you like Takemichi, but you don't like Midoriya.
Yeah, Takemichi doesn't annoy me nearly as much. I don't know why. Maybe because he does more stuff.
Does he?
Maybe because he
cries until the end of an
hair.
Arc and then he yells. That's it. That's all he does.
Sometimes he does stuff.
Could have saved that girl. He didn't have to go back in time again. It's bullshit.
Well, the third My Hero Academia movie, I think, comes out in the West in October. So I'm hoping to watch season 5 before that. I think, at least in the UK, I think tickets are available to book from, I think, the 2nd of October or something. So I'll definitely be booking that.
I might be to see in a theater.
Yeah, I heard it was mildly successful in Japan.
Maybe we'll talk about it later. Maybe we won't. I don't know. I just want to bring it up real quick. The villain stuff was cool. The A-class versus B-class stuff, kind of lame. I don't know. It had its moments, I guess.
Yeah, but that's where I read up to in the manga, and that arc bored me so much that I dropped it.
Yeah, it felt like filler, but nope. It was apparently real.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Vanitas no Cart, the case study of Vanitas. I think it ended, but I don't remember what happened at the end.
They decided to go after that beast or whatever.
Beast?
Yeah, they heard rumors of return of a really powerful curse bearer. They went after to chase it after we found out that, you know, evil red hair guy turned Noe into like a time bomb, essentially.
That's coming back in January or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a split core, a second season. Yeah. It's definitely better because it didn't resolve anything.
Yeah,
I've only watched the first couple of episodes of that. I wasn't that impressed. Was it good?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Okay. I think it's good. I don't love it, but there are really good moments. There's some really good moments, and other times I'm just like, I just don't like what you've done with these characters.
I love him and Jean together. That amuses me to no end.
The relationship between the two main characters is sometimes really good, which I
appreciate. I love when they're just like, he has to deal with the fact that Noe finds so much shit just really interesting for no reason. Like, any scene where like he stops to look at something in the street and Vanitas has to drag him off.
Yep.
It's like, we're trying to do something here. I love how everybody dresses. Like, every single person in the show is dressed. You never get confused which character is which.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but the outfit design is really good.
Yeah, like, when I found out that it was the same author as Pandora Hearts, it made a lot more sense. You know, it's very much that, you know, Victorian, you know, design via Milan kind of thing. Like, what the Vanitas wear doesn't fucking sense. There's just, like, sleeves and, like, scarves and shit coming out everywhere. But, like I said, every character is very distinct. You never wonder which character is which.
True.
I loved it. I love the weird ass vampire society they built. I love Vanitas and Noe together. Vanitas and Jean cracks me up like relentlessly.
Do you think
that's a thing that's going to be decisive too? Some people will find the relationship inappropriate. I don't know.
Yeah, with Jean or John, I'm just like, the first time I'm just like, all right, this is not cool. I was like actively not happy with that scene, but I don't know. To her. Whether or not she likes him, I guess she says she doesn't, but the episode where they were like kind of dating was pretty funny.
Episode was hilarious.
So I don't know, what do you think? Too much or not enough eroticism in terms of vampire stories?
Every vampire story, any good one, involves eroticism because the very idea of the vampire is based in, like, you know, repressed sexuality, essentially. Like, the idea of sucking somebody's blood directly from their neck is a sexual act in and of itself. A vampire story with no eroticism is a bad vampire story.
And how does Vanitas stack up?
I put it in my top 10.
Oh, damn. All right.
Top 10 vampire stories or just...
top 10 eroticism.
Top 10 eroticism.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Top 10 French vampire stories.
All right. Okay. What else does Requiem have? We can't go through all the... Okay, Requiem, pick one of your shows you'd really like to talk about.
Let me look at the list, see what we haven't talked about yet.
And Dr. Kev, you can probably think of one at the top of your head.
The Duke of Death and His Maid.
Oh my god, that's great. Let's talk about that.
I loved that show. It's just fantastic. I thought the beginning was a bit shaky, but it got so good later. It's such a sweet romance. Again, with a kind of melancholy aspect to it, just adds a little something else there. It's so sweet. And, you know,
where they can't touch, allowed them to not have to do the push and pull, like will they, won't they? Like, they obviously have feelings for each other, and they don't hide them. But they, with the gimmick they've got, they can add the difficulties into the relationship without having to do like the big confession scene. Like that, they just skipped all past that.
Yeah,
it's so sweet. Good.
Yeah, it's very good, and I think they are making a second season. So
yes, they are. They announced it. I'm hype.
Yeah, I started reading the manga of that because I wanted to know what happened next. And the manga is so sweet as well. And, you know, they've managed to adapt the character designs quite well. Even though it's CG, they look like the characters from the manga. They've done a really good job.
So a question on the show. Do they ever really delve into actually trying to break the Duke's curse?
One of the main drivers of the plot, yeah.
Yeah, that's the main...
Yeah, see, here's the thing. I started watching it, and they're like, oh, hey, there's this curse. Maybe we should do something about it. And then it was just, you know, the same silliness as the first episode. I'm like,
How far in did you get?
I dropped it like a bad habit midway through the second episode.
Right, you need to get a couple more. You have to get a couple more episodes in before the plot really starts. But yeah, they do make several attempts to try to figure out how to break his curse.
Yeah, there are more characters that are introduced later on who kind of facilitate that plot.
But yeah, there's only three basic elements to the plot. You know, two, trying to spend time together, even though they can't touch. Then there's them trying to break the curse. And then there's also this drama with his mom. Those are the three. Those are the three things that drive what is the episode. It's great though. It really is. Yeah. I mean, I hate CG. Give it another shot. And I watch it. Yeah, get to at least episode 5 before you quit it. Would be my recommendation.
Okie dokie, let's do a few more. So I always forget the full title of this. Let me see if I can get it right. Otome Game no Hametsu Flag Shika Nai Akuyaku Reijo ni Tensei Shite Shimata. My Next Life as Villains. We all kind of agreed before that we didn't really need another season of this, but now we're going to get another season of this. How do we feel now?
Which is baffling.
Yeah.
It's baffling. And it was a pretty good season. I mean, it was still fun. And they actually started to at least attempt to deal with the massive romantic, you know, obstacle course that she has created for herself.
Bunch of boys fucking themselves on
a movie rather than a third season. Or am I misremembering here?
Oh, I didn't know. I just assumed it was a season. So they're going to wrap it up in a movie?
I don't think so, because the light novels are still ongoing. So there's no chance of them wrapping.
Like, how much longer can this go?
I don't know. Money.
So she graduates.
I mean, they did indicate that she had somehow stumbled into the sequel.
Yeah.
So there is that.
I'm interested in seeing where that goes, I guess.
We need more time with the council in her head, because those are my favorite characters.
Pretty good.
And like Mary just needs to win.
But she didn't have like her stolen kiss like the boys got. That's not fair.
Yeah, repeated sexual assault.
But it's fine, because she was embarrassed and might have liked it, but we don't know. Except that...
She didn't even understand it was happening at the time.
I thought it was a dream. She used that excuse like 3 times. I'm like, come on.
My favorite one is the guy who pins her down to a bed, kisses her neck. She thinks she got bit by a mosquito. Holy shit. Yeah, because we are strongly approaching that point in any harem show, reverse harem, standard harem, whatever, where the character's denseness stops being funny and stops being just an obstacle to any kind of progression. And you start to get fucking tired of it.
Yeah.
Like, they need to do something with that if the show's going to keep still being good.
I bet they don't. I bet she maintains that same personality the whole time, till the very end.
Yeah, probably.
Like, that's what people want. They just want that reversed harem thing without any kind of consequences or anything happening. It's just silly fun time.
Yeah. Where it should end is a nice boat.
A nice boat?
Yeah, nice boat is how that kind of stuff actually ends in the real world. You got a bunch of people interested in the same person that always ends in violence.
Yep. All right, yeah. I mean, it's fine. If you like the first season, you might like the second season. But it's not essential, I don't think.
It suffers from not having the narrative thrust of trying to avoid the Doom Flags and her knowing the character setups.
Well, that's why they bring in the sequel. Now there's going to be the Doom Flags, and maybe she's going to dream of her friend playing the sequel, and that's how she's going to know what comes next.
I always thought her friend died when it was reincarnated as the white-haired girl.
Well, yeah, I didn't really get that. Did she die, or was she just like spiritually connected to her or something?
I don't know. They've never addressed it again since it was first mentioned, so no idea.
Well, I guess we'll find out in the movie. Do we even want to talk about Slime now that one's over?
Nah, we're good.
Not really. Although it's got, getting a movie as well.
That character was just, the villain was so bad. His name? Clayman? He was just like the worst. Never had any moments.
But because he turns out he's not really the villain. He's a puppet villain.
But usually there's like some moments, and I guess towards the end where he's like, I was foolish and vain. Like, oh, but now give me all the power. And then he just immediately loses. I'm like, Jesus, let's get a good villain in the show. It's ridiculous. We might get that eventually. Otherwise, it was fine. I'll probably keep watching it, I guess. I'm just kind of going through the motions at this point. And then I want to talk about Kageki Shoujo, which is like one of my favorite shows of the season. And it's just, we need to have another season, but I'm kind of worried the way they ended it. It seemed like they didn't say, hey, stay tuned next time. They didn't have a cliffhanger or anything. So they need to get to like them being on stage and acting before I can really say it's a complete show. But otherwise, it's been pretty great the whole time.
Not the whole show was about them being on stage and acting.
Well, they're in school to do that, and they haven't, like, you know, graduated, and they haven't, like, performed. We have to see that. Instead, we just got, like, a little thing, like, oh, it's a school festival, and you guys get to be, like, in a little side performance. Like, that's all it really was their audition for Romeo and Juliet. But that was really good, and we got some character development there. So, I want more.
All I know about that show is that Luigi loves it.
Well, if Luigi loves it, it must be good.
Well, that's not necessarily true, because Fruits Basket sucks.
All right, well, we're going to move on to that. I think that's about all we're going to say. If we want to pick maybe, I don't know, 1 to 3 shows that we absolutely want to recommend, you guys, when we give you like a second, and maybe I'll go through mine. I already said Kageki Shoujo, absolutely. Maid Dragon, almost as good in some ways, maybe even better than season 1. If you like Maid Dragon and you like Kyoto, it was really nice to see that they're still on top of their game. And I don't know. I think those are like the two absolutes. Off the top of my head, I can't think of anything else that I say you need to watch. But it was an okay season. Maybe not as good as the prior season. Anyone else?
Well, the prior season was overloaded.
It was too much goodness.
Yeah, I would say
Phoenix Pirate Princess, I'll also say, but it's not done. So
I would say if you like classic isekai, Tsukimichi was a lot of fun. I'd recommend The Duke of Death and His Maid. As I said before, that was a uniquely sweet, well-handled romance anime in a genre that I usually don't like very much. And if you like me and you enjoy things that are uniquely terrible.
You have no taste.
One of my favorite movies of all time, my first Blu-ray I ever owned, was Street Fighter the Movie.
It's
cool, right? If you like that kind of terrible shit, The Detective is already dead. I can't recommend enough. Terrible from the beginning to the end. And it turns out the title is a lie. Spoilers.
He's not dead? Oh, spoiler.
He's kind of dead, but kind of not. Which is, you know, just adds to how dumb it is.
He's a zombie.
She's not even... I can't even... If I told you how she was actually still alive, you'd think I was making it up.
Yep.
But if just... Watch The Detective is Already Dead and enjoy that someone thought this was a good idea.
Yep.
They made it for you.
I feel like it was made for me.
Yeah, the season's been pretty mixed. I don't think there's been anything really that stand out as much as stood out last season. We've not mentioned it so far, but Beastars Season 2, which came out on Netflix this season, it was just bonkers. I just finished watching that with my daughter today, and just the last couple of episodes are just ridiculous, but lots of fun. Duke of Death and His Maid is just delightful, mostly from beginning to end, and Dragon Maid Season 2 was just wonderful as well. So yeah, those are the three I'd recommend.
Cool.
Viking, got anything?
Definitely Maid Dragon. I think it was probably my favorite of the season, although it needs more Fafnir. And that I really, really liked Aquatope. And honestly, this first half of it can stand alone, in my opinion, as a good, complete show.
Still surprised it's going to continue. I hope they can keep up the relationships, see what they do with that. All right. Well, that is the last season. Before we talk about old stuff and maybe some off-topic stuff, why don't we get into some news? I'm going to be honest. I didn't really research this first one, but I was on Amazon and I saw that the manga Yatsuba is back. So I ordered my copy coming out next month. I know some people probably looked at some shady websites to read it, but I didn't. I wait for the hard copy because I watch and I induce all my anime and manga in legal forms, as we all are aware. So excited for Yatsuba to come back. And speaking of Kobayashi Maid Dragon, you guys, you watched the shorts? The shorts, yeah. Before the new season came up had a little shmup looking credit sequence. I guess now they're just straight up making a shmup. Made by the makers of Raiden. I don't know if you guys are familiar. Raiden is like a classic. They've still been making them, and they have been pretty bad the last decade. But hey, they were good one time, so maybe they'll do good with this, hopefully.
I almost wish they'd made like a dragon dating sim, because that would be fun.
Oh, yeah, that would have been great.
Put it in the
Kobayashi Dragon Maid visual novel.
Yeah.
I mean, so, I'm down with the shmup. I need that you are able to defeat like Elma by like offering her donuts, and you can defeat the Yokana by like sending out a bug that distracts her.
That'd be way too much work for a shmup. You're just gonna shoot him with bullets, probably. That's my guess. But like the boss should be the dragons, right?
Well, I would assume your like, character is a dragon.
You're probably Toru, and you're fighting Elma, Quetzalcoatl, Kana, and at the very end, you fight Kobayashi, and you have to like not be seduced by her. Even though she's not trying to seduce you, but you're just so obsessed that you can't help it. And then God. That's the final boss.
The final boss is God.
Rematch.
Yeah, I love every other Final Fantasy. You have to attack and dethrone God.
Haminari Games. I guess they worked on Raiden 5 on the Switch. I don't know. We'll see. They're not. I just realized they're a subsidiary of the company that makes Raiden, so we'll see how it turns out. Dr. Kev, what else we got for news?
So, Netflix are releasing Violet Evergarden, the movie, to stream, I think, mostly worldwide on October the 13th. Which is the same day that it's coming out on Blu-ray in Japan. So Violet Evergarden was one of the best shows of 2018, and they already did a kind of side story movie, but this is the proper, I think, conclusion to the story, so expect many, many tears and wailing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I am really hyped for this because I love Violet Evergarden. It's just a beautiful, beautiful show. And I've got no idea what happens in the movie. I've not been spoiled, so I'm going to watch this the day it comes out, definitely.
This is the only anime that's made me not like tear up, but like legit ugly cry. Like, it's actually amazing.
The only anime ever.
Literally. Ever. Mm. You know what? I got close to ugly crying. I had regular crying watching Clannad. But other than that.
Did you see After Story?
It was After Story that did it.
Yeah. After Story made me drink.
Oh. I have the DVD of that, and I've not ever plucked up the courage to watch it.
You coward.
You need to be in a good space emotionally before you watch it, because it'll plunge you into the depths.
Or, you know, just for fun, just get real depressed and put it on. See what happens.
Yeah, that too, if you're already low.
Right. Violet didn't make me depressed.
But the thing is, I cried at like a happy scene. Like, that's what gets me, is like when people uplifting scenes. Not like the, oh, someone died again. Ooh, don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, we should expect lots of crying and like animation of very intricate machine parts.
Oh yeah, it's so beautiful. Yeah.
Super shiny fingers.
Mm.
Yeah, not much to say about that other than, what day was it? October 13th.
October 13th, yeah.
On Netflix. If you have Netflix. Everyone does.
Import the Blu-ray from Japan instead then.
Easy. Yeah, I'm probably going to buy it afterwards. Mm. Requiem, what we got?
Well, we all love Nendoroids, I'm assuming. Everybody here loves Nendoroids?
If you don't, get off my podcast.
I don't own
one. You show me a Funko Pop, it's going in the fire. Trash fire.
And well, as we know, those adorable little toys are sold by a company called the Good Smile Company. And they're unfortunately being sued by two former employees for potentially distributing potentially obscene, sexually explicit anime products and merchandise of underage characters, engaging in false designation of corporate officers, independent contractors, tax evasion, improper licensing, and funding the controversial website 4chan. Which, that was the one I was like, huh?
I'm sure that's not illegal.
I'm like, that's not illegal, but it
maybe should be
weird. Now, it should it's be mentioned me, that, that basically that the two people in the defendants, or the in this case the people suing them, said that they talked to their supervisor an objection to the selling of merchandise of underage anime characters, stating it to be unethical, offensive, potentially illegal. What should be noticed, however, that this lawsuit is being filed as a countersuit because Good Smile is suing them for the secrets of founding their own company with them.
I'm sorry, say that one again?
So basically, these people who are suing Good Smile for selling potentially illegal underage anime products are people who are already being sued by Good Smile for essentially starting their own company using trade secrets they took from Good Smile.
Okay, there you go.
So whether they're actually concerned with the products they sell or it's just a retaliatory lawsuit is up to the eye of the beholder. Still, maybe do your research before you buy your next Nendoroids and then just buy your Nendoroids. One imagine. Still, it was interesting. I mean, let's face it, they probably are selling somewhat questionable figures of technically underage anime characters. Let's just face it.
But not like in sexual positions. I guess if you take their clothes off, but like, whatever. That's a toy.
The thing is, like, what's objectionable is completely up to the person viewing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not naked. Obviously, there are porn figures. Good Smile doesn't sell porn figures.
Yeah,
so it all comes down to, like, if they're in a bikini and they're underage, are you finding that objectionable or not? Well, that's up to the individual.
I have Good Smile figures on my shelf in my consulting room at work, and none of them are obscene. They're kind of cute little anime people, and children like them. So,
yeah, like I said, it sure seems like it's mostly a retaliatory effort to shake off the lawsuit that they got hit with. But like I said, that's up to you how you tip it.
I think you hit the nail on the head. That's probably exactly what it is. Viking, what do we have here?
So it looks like Ufotable or UFO Table or Ufot Able, however it's pronounced.
I like that one.
I like the last one. Ufot Able.
But Able, go on.
Anyway, their founder, Hikaru Kondo, admitted to the charge of tax evasion. And it's 138 million yen, so it's about $1.25 million US. Looks like they basically hid a lot of their income from various sources like cafes and some of their merchandise, etc. Basically, the whole idea is that they were trying to, you know, build up a little bit of cash reserves for future potential downturns. But, you know, hiding your income and not paying tax on it, it doesn't really matter if you're trying to save your business, apparently.
It's not
I hate when I forget to pay $1 million in taxes.
Pay your taxes. Yeah. I don't want to.
Like, I'm sure he's like, I swear to God, I filled out the paperwork, I just forgot to file it.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure that's the same guy we read about before who, like, hid some of the money in his safe.
This is flat out, they just flat out did not report the income. They hid it and didn't pay the taxes on it.
I'm surprised he admitted it. So, good
on him.
Well, it was probably because they pretty much, like, were like, hey, here's this $1 million you didn't tell us about. He's like, oh, that $1 million.
Well, here in America, we just fight it, even if the facts are just straight out in the open. So,
well, in America, they could have just hidden, like, on the islands or something, and you'd be able to get away with it.
Yeah.
He should have claimed to be a non-profit.
Just me, not the whole company, just me.
You do have to wonder how that's going to impact the company going forward, though. You know, and they're like, I need them to keep producing really, really cool animations.
I need to see the end of Demon Slayer. I don't care about the government.
Maybe this is why they decided to make Mugen Train an arc of the anime, even though they already made a movie, because they need the money.
Yeah.
We talk about how that's really annoying?
Sure, go ahead.
It's really annoying.
Uh-huh.
I was like, you want more Demon Slayer. What you don't want is to rehash the shit you just saw in the movie.
Wait. That's going to be part of the show now?
Yeah, the first arc back in the episodes is like a 7-episode arc of the movie.
Oh, no. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Well.
Dude, you have to sit through, like, a whole, like, half a season of the shit you already saw in the movie before you get to the Red Light District arc, which is what everybody actually wants.
Are they just reusing animation, or are they, like, doing new stuff?
They said it was new, if I remember correctly.
I think they're reusing animation, but adding in, like, extra scenes here and there, I think, probably. Damn it.
That'll be my Triscuit show this season. All right.
That's going to be a lot of padding.
Yeah.
You know, usually they make a movie after the fact to be, like, a, you know, a summary of an anime season or an arc. This is just backwards.
Do it the other way. Gotta be original.
Oh God, they better not do the same with Made in Abyss Season 2. I could just see them chopping that movie into bits to make
I haven't seen the movie, and that's supposed to be canon, right? And then they move on to the next.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't watch the movie. Just read a synopsis. Don't watch it. The images will never escape your brain.
Is it too pedo stuff?
No, it's not pedo stuff. It's just horrid body horror. Horrific body horror.
It's the TV show covers, I think, volumes 1 to 3, and then the movie covers, like, volumes 4 and 5.
Mm.
And then the following volumes after that are all one big long story that is, like, so supremely fucked up that I don't know how that is going to be shown on television without being banned. So.
The first season was so good, I want to see all of it, but...
Mm. It's good. No, it's good. Honestly, it's good. It's just, you know, just leave your morals at the door.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good story. It's just very, very fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I wish I hadn't seen the movie, because, like, I didn't sleep well for the first couple days after that. It's distressing.
Yeah.
But it's right, so good. Let's move on. Actually, you know, we're kind of in it where we're talking about things that aren't from this season, or games, or manga, or whatever. So, we got a few things here. Well, since Dr. Kev has a couple, let's start with you. Doctor Who, my favorite anime?
Yeah. I was trying to convince Luigi that he should like Doctor Who, and he told me that he'd watched some of it and just hated it. So it's like, friendship with Luigi ended.
Yeah, stop talking to that guy.
What a jerk.
But my son, he's 10 now, and I thought, oh, you're old enough to enjoy Doctor Who. So we started watching these DVD box sets that I bought, like, years ago when Blockbuster died, and they were selling off everything for ridiculously cheap.
So RIP Blockbuster.
Yeah, I bought, like, seasons of Doctor Who for, like, £2. Like, oh, that's good. £2. So we watched, like, all of Russell T Davies' stuff, which is the Christopher Eccleston as the Ninth Doctor and David Tennant as the Tenth Doctor. And I'd forgotten just how amazing season 4 of that show is, of the revived season. Just that's David Tennant's final season. I mean, that made me cry at the end. It's so good. And I am just delighted to hear that Russell T Davies is coming back to showrun Doctor Who again. That was just announced, like, a day or two ago. So, yeah. We're going to watch the whole thing. So we started watching, like, the 11th Doctor, which is Matt Smith, and then we'll watch the 12th Doctor. And I've not seen any of the 13th Doctor. That's the Lady Doctor. Not because she's a Lady Doctor, just because I heard it was shit. But I'm going to watch it because... but I'm going to watch
it. It wasn't her fault. The Lady Doctor... is actually wonderful. Like, she is a great, she's a great actress. She does the best she can, but the writers and the showrunner for that season had no idea what they were doing.
That's a shame. But yeah, I mean, the guy who was a showrunner, he ran Torchwood for the first couple of seasons, and I quite liked Torchwood. It was a bit janky in places, but it was still fun. So I don't know, but yeah, greatly enjoying Doctor Who. It works really well, sort of binged. Because you can see, like, all the little wee subtle things that they put in it just for sort of continuity and the sort of gradually building storylines in the background. So, yeah, it's really good. It's a bit cheap looking, certainly to begin with, because they were not working on very much of a budget. But considering, you know, how cheap it was compared to, like, American television, they do remarkably well with their budget. Even
it's pretty much Doctor Who tradition is...
Yeah.
Like, their creativity is almost fueled by how little bit of budget they had.
Mm-hmm.
You go back and watch the 4th or 5th Doctors and look at the Cybermen who are basically just wearing a toaster.
Yeah, and the tinfoil.
yeah, basically.
So better or worse than the Lost Smoke Monster?
I quite liked Lost, but I prefer Doctor Who.
I mean, like, the budgetary, like the CG budget and stuff. Like
Lost had way more money than Doctor Who.
You know, one episode of Lost would have probably paid for an entire season of Doctor Who.
Of course. Okay.
Let's see. They do their best with limited resources.
Respect.
Hmm.
All right. Speaking of non-anime things, Requiem, I've had a bunch of people, well, actually, really just one friend really talk about Doom Patrol, but I haven't seen any of it. What are they, like, season four now?
They're in, they just started, they're a couple of episodes into season three.
Okay. How was it?
Well, it debuted originally on the DC Universe app, and I actually, like, had that service at the time and never got around to watching it. So I finally got to watching it now, and I binged the entire first two seasons and then the first three episodes of this season in like a week because it's fucking great.
Hmm.
It's so like, it's so weird. Now the Doom Patrol is weird from Jump Street all the way back in the 60s through when Jared Way from a famous band whose name I can't remember. There you go. The guy, he's also the guy who did Umbrella Academy.
Yeah.
Wrote it. When he wrote it, it was extra weird. And it's just like, it's like there's so much weird, weird shit. Like guys getting trapped in paintings. You got a villain who like lives in the fourth wall. You got a sentient living teleporting street that is genderqueer and uses they pronouns. And it's so great because it's not really a superhero narrative. In fact, that's one of the things they keep bringing up is that they're not actually superheroes. They're just like four or five, in some cases, very, very damaged people desperately trying to figure out how to unfuck themselves.
Does it have any other links to any other DC shows, or can you just watch it without...
No, it's obviously part of the DC universe. Cyborg is a recurring character. They mentioned the Justice League, but okay. It's very much its own continuity. Like, they're not crossing over with Titans or anything.
All right.
I mean, honestly, most of the shit they do wouldn't really fit into the larger DC media anyway. I can't see Superman dropping by to deal with the Beard Hunter.
Yeah. I've not watched any DC television since, I think, Arrow season 3 or 4 or something.
I love the Arrowverse, I will say this. At least I did, up to a point where they canceled Arrow. But the writing in Doom Patrol is at a whole other level above like the DC shows. Part of it is because they're on Cinemax. And then also the HBO Max, so they can swear and they can have more adult, you know, concerns. And they push that as far as they can. Like at one point they get like a sex poltergeist and like the sex Ghostbusters have to show up. I'm not making this up.
I'm not even sure if this show is even available to watch in the UK.
You guys have HBO Max?
No, that's not a thing in the UK. It's probably some other thing. No idea.
If you have any version of HBO or Cinemax, it should be attached to it.
Nope. Those are not things in the UK at all. We've got a whole bunch of other random crap.
Is DC Universe still a thing out there?
No, that was never a thing here either.
Is a thing, I highly recommend it.
So if you did want to follow DC shows, you had to subscribe to about 4 or 5 different streaming services because it was just distributed across all of them. And I think none of them were streaming like Batwoman or something like that. So just, I don't know. So if you're trying to follow any of the crossovers and trying to do it legally, it was impossible.
Well, yeah, the thing was like the crossovers were mostly all on CW. And then the shows they were doing that were exclusive to DC Universe were pretty much separate in their own continuity. It's mostly just Titans and Doom Patrol, and then those are now on HBO Max. But if you have the means to watch it, I strongly recommend it.
I think BitTorrent, probably.
What's that?
Never heard of it.
No.
Is that like LimeWire?
Yeah.
Kazaa?
Kazaa Lite. Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Click download, go to sleep, hope it's there in the morning.
You get the link from Usenet.
Usenet?
No one's going to know what that is.
Nobody's going to know what that is.
I unfortunately know what that is. Speaking of Usenet, I watched Ghost in the Shell, the original, the other day in 4K IMAX. My friend found out about it the day beforehand, and was like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. I haven't seen that like in 20, maybe 30 years. I haven't watched it more than once. And you know how you got to reserve movie tickets online? It's like, oh, 3 people in the entire IMAX had reserved tickets. So we went in, and other than us, 1 other guy. So 6 people in the entire theater watching this thing. It took them, I think, 20 minutes to start. They started like 20 minutes late. I don't know if they just forgot it was happening or they saw that nobody was here and they were waiting for people to show up. But anyways, it was cool. I hadn't seen Ghost of the Shell in a long time, and I'm like, man, there sure are a lot of nip shots, but other than that, pretty normal. Pretty
and good. There are Android nips.
I mean, the original creator, big hentai artist, so I'm not surprised. They're like, man, a lot of these establishing shots start with a nipple and then move somewhere else. But otherwise,
I don't know if you've ever read the original Ghost in the Shell manga, but it's very sex positive. Let's put it that way.
Sex
positive. There's a lot more fucking going on in the manga.
I forgot how it ended, where she just got put into like a child's like doll body, and then her mind merged with the villain. I totally forgot about that because I've watched Standalone Complex and Innocence, and I just don't remember any of that stuff.
I was really pissed off at the American version, the Hollywood version, where they totally screwed around with the ending, and that did not happen. And it's like the entire point of it is that she ascends to another plane of existence. She sort of evolves; it's a new life form. She, you know, she's no longer bound by human limitations. And the American film is like, nah, fuck that. Let's just shit all over this entire property and ruin it. I'm like, oh,
please tell me how it ends. People I have no interest in watching.
Would be smart enough to figure it out. And I'm like, yeah. That's almost a point.
It's awful. I mean, the thing is that the Hollywood movie looks beautiful. It looks exactly how you expect it to look. It's just the storyline is just dreadful. But
I've seen every version of Ghost in the Shell, and I still like the original movie the best.
I think I like Standalone Complex the most. But...
Yeah, Standalone Complex is great because it has some of the humor of the comic in it, or the manga.
Standalone Complex is pretty good, don't get me wrong. I especially liked when they did... When they had those like little like kind of movies or subsections where they put this, they isolated the main storyline, like the last man. They cut out all those other episodes that weren't related and just put the main storyline together in like seven episodes. That was great because then I was like, oh yeah, this was pretty good when they got around to it.
So when Standalone Complex first came out, that was what, the early 2000s? That was kind of before BitTorrent was really a thing. So in order to get that, I bought dodgy DVDs from Hong Kong, which I think from like eBay or something, and they were sent, and I had to wait weeks for them to arrive, and the subtitles were terrible, and I couldn't work out what the hell was going on because it was so badly translated, but it was still wonderful, and I enjoyed it.
I wonder if you got the same ones that I got, where Bato was subtitled as Butt.
Well, the
but get foreign, over here.
Get over here, bud.
The foreign minister was called Minister of Foreign, so that
sounds right. Actually, yeah,
it's the same thing.
Possibly was, and each DVD had maybe like two episodes on it or something like that. I donated them to charity eventually.
I didn't get stuck watching the Adult Swim dub version because I didn't like the dub very much. I hate to this day the English dub voice for the Tachkomas.
Oh,
I hate it.
Not good enough.
It's excruciating. He's like,
oh god!
I'm like, oh god! Stop doing it! Please stop it.
I'm sorry for the listeners. That was atrocious for everyone else.
Just break your mic or something.
Yeah, I think I just strained like my vocal cords. But okay, it's just as high pitched and like through an auto-tone.
I mean, I feel the movie misses the Tachikomas because you know they were part of the original manga and the.
It kind of had one. It was like a tank that kind of looked like a Tachikoma. And
yeah.
Original.
I don't know. I mean, the
development of the Tachikoma's AI is like a major part of the story.
Yeah. I mean, there's some of that in the Standalone Complex, definitely.
I think in second gig, they kind of, I don't know where it is, but they show like a second model. Like most of the Standalone Complex, you get that blue spider looking thing, but then at the end, maybe it's a Solid State Society where they have like the red, big, clunky one.
Yeah. Well, don't the Tachikomas like sacrifice themselves at the end of the second season or something like that, and they have to replace them with something similar but different?
I just bought the official Blu-ray, which apparently is also poor quality, but whatever, it's the only way you can get it. And I'm gonna rewatch Standalone Complex finally. And
I have those old the metal tins that they released for the DVDs like years and years and years ago that came with like a T-shirt and a little wee Tachikoma figure. But in the UK, they released the DVDs with like cardboard slipcovers, but they used the same box as the American release, which then meant that the DVD boxes wouldn't all fit in the metal tin.
Yeah, fucking bastards.
So,
That reminds me of the Helsing Ultimates, where Genion went under, and then when they finally got the license picked up, they didn't release them in the same steel books, so it looks like shit on my shelf, and I'm still mad about it.
They just gave up releasing them in the UK. I think they released the first four, and then many years later, they just released them all in a single box.
No, it's the same thing happened in America. Is when Genion went under, the license went dead for years.
Yeah.
Remember when there was like 8 anime releasing companies?
They must get
Or they're like 1 now, 2?
Anime Works.
All right. Actually, so it's been a while on that one. Viking, Other Side, Picnic, light novels. You been reading those?
Yeah. Yeah, so that series was kind of on my radar before the anime hit. But I hadn't watched the anime. I heard a lot of people that were fans of the novel say that it was a poor adaptation. So I thought, okay, well, it's time to give these a read. And they're really fantastic. They bring out the creepiness so much better than what you got in the anime. And the relationship between the leads is so much better in the books. It's something I wish I would love to see get another season. But considering the kind of shortcuts they took in the first season, or the existing season, I guess, I don't know how well they would actually be able to pull that off.
Forget how did.
But highly
anime...
recommend it.
Okay. How did the anime end again? I forget.
Well, it ended like 8 months after the season ended.
Did I not see the real ending?
Well, do you remember? The last episode got delayed significantly.
I don't. Did I it? Forget.
I don't remember that, so maybe I didn't see the last episode of this show.
I don't know. I really enjoyed the show. I'm aware that people thought it was a poor adaptation, but I'd quite like to read the novels. Are you reading them digitally, or did you buy them like in paper copy? Or
I bought digital copies.
Okay.
So there are 5 out now in English, mm-hmm. and I think there's just one more that hasn't been translated, and it should show up. I think in January.
Are they done?
I think it's still ongoing.
It always seemed like a really interesting show, but then, like, especially as it got to the second half, people started complaining about it, and then there was nothing but negativity about the ending. Yeah, especially after it took several weeks for it to come out.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check and see if I actually saw the last episode. but yeah, what I remember, it was kind of a non-ending.
Yeah, I think that's what made people mad. Well, there's a long way to wait for a non-ending.
Visual novels are good, though, you're saying?
The light novels, not the visual novels.
Oh, yeah, sorry, the light novels are very good.
I just looked up on Wikipedia just now. I think there wasn't a delay for that last episode. I think just people just didn't like it.
You might be thinking of...
I swear I remember that the last episode got...
Wonder Egg? Are you thinking of Wonder Egg?
Oh, I am thinking of Wonder Egg. Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm confused.
Oh, yeah, it's totally different.
3 months or something. Yeah. And that was
I was thinking of Wonder Egg the whole time. Other Side Picnic was a show that I kept going, oh, that looks interesting, and then never picked up.
Yeah. It was all right. Mm-hmm. I think anyone who thinks that the Wonder Egg ending was good should be shot, but otherwise, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to get another season, though. Like, I, at least going by the buzz on it, like, it didn't seem particularly popular.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything about whether it would or not, so probably not.
God, I hate that. I hate when you're into a show, but you just know you'll never get another season of it.
Bring back Doro Hedoro.
Not Nuzberry Treasure.
What else we got here? Well, I guess we talk about video games. Dr. Kev, are you playing the Advance Collection for Castlevania?
Yeah, I just bought that the minute it was released. I have been Damn. Waiting for that for a long time. Cause I was never able to get a hold of the original Game Boy Advance cartridges for that.
You can finally play Circle of the Moon without a worm light.
I started playing as Aria of Sorrow. That's the one that's meant to be the best. So
you didn't go in order, huh?
No, sorry, it was really good.
It's I'm already multiple hours into it. It's fantastic. I mean, I love Symphony of the Night. That's such an amazing game, and this is really, really similar.
Yeah, it's so, very clearly heavily inspired by Symphony of the Night.
Yeah, I like it a lot. So
I like Harmony of Dissonance too, even though it's a stupid title.
I mean, I'll get around to it. I mean, I will play them all. I mean, I have the other Castlevania collections that they did, because I'm just a total sucker when it comes to retro games like that. Make some new ones.
This is the first time they're actually collecting the Game Boy Advance ones. Like, they've done others over and over. Like, Symphony of the Night, you can buy, like, 8 times. But now, the Game Boy Advance ones were fantastic. And we took them for granted because we were getting one a year, and now we just barely ever get anything from Konami.
Yeah.
It can always basically just a pachinko company now.
I almost don't want to give them money, but I would rather buy these things, rather than pirate them.
True. What about Dracula? What's the other one? The Super Nintendo
Dracula game X, I think.
It's meant to be really bad.
It's not bad.
Why they put it on there in the first place?
There's a better version of that game though, which they already released on one of the other Castlevania collections. So why you would bother with this one, I don't know.
Yeah, it was on the one Limited Run Games did.
Okay.
Which is sitting on my shelf somewhere. I'll open it someday.
They did quite a good Castlevania collection with 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and a bunch of other ones. I think the Game Boy ones were on it as well. Like the Game Boy one is my first ever Castlevania game, the Castlevania Adventure. So brutally hard. I don't think I was ever able to finish it. So difficult.
Let's face it, all the old Castlevanias were pretty hard.
Castlevania 2 on the Game Boy was a fantastic game.
Definitely. Simon's Quest?
No, Simon's Quest was 2 on the Nintendo Entertainment System. The Game Boy ones were completely separate. They're totally different games. Right. Totally different games. Simon's Quest
was hard as fuck too, by the way.
Well, didn't they make it almost uncompletable? I think.
Well, I mean, I never beat it, so at least for me it was.
That was back when they expected you to buy a Nintendo Power to figure out how to beat it.
Right.
I bought Nintendo Power. I still couldn't beat it.
Damn.
Nintendo Power can't make you jump in the right time.
That's why I need the Game Genie. Come on.
The Game Genie
used to kiss my ass.
I had one of those.
All right. That's our anime podcast for the week. I have no way to take us out of here. No transition. Maybe, I don't know, Rhett, give me a song.
That was anime.